This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Season trade for Melky Cabrera, like, it's one of the perfect fits of all time.
It was.
Like, that player to this community and that team, like, it was just what the doctor ordered.
Melky was so good then.
Jimmy is exactly what they needed so bad. They needed some attitude and some energy and some IQ and somebody who could hold them accountable. Like, he's the only guy on the planet right now who I think can also hold Draymond accountable a little.
Sticking with the status quo wasn't going to work for this team.
No.
It's something needed to change, and I'm glad it was with Jimmy Butler because there's nothing more different, again, player to player, Andrew Wiggins to Jimmy Butler. And we just had Steven on, and he was talking about, you know, that mentality. Jimmy Butler's also 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
He plays bigger, though.
He plays that way.
They're the same. Listen to the same height, 6'7", but Jimmy's bigger than him. And that matters when you come to muscle. Like, does Jimmy Butler look like he has an ounce of fat on him? No. He's chiseled. He's strong. He puts his head down, and he demands, you know, attention. And Stephen Curry, a guy that's getting older, a guy that's dealing with bilateral knee tendonitis, he needs some of that wear and tear to come off of him. He's still running around. He's still going to do that. You know, the tendonitis isn't going to go away. There's no cure for that. He's old. Like, this is what's going to happen. But limiting those minutes for him, and again, even playing 34 minutes last night, he looked energized.
Yeah, he did.
Like, and we were talking about him not even playing potentially yesterday.
He looked so happy.
And again, I'm talking about all these moves that have made at the deadline. Wembanyama is thrilled. LeBron James is thrilled. Stephen Curry is thrilled. And we might be talking about those three teams deep into May, potentially.
Look, I'm getting text messages from random people last night watching the game. Like, my cousin John, he watches all the war games. He's like, it is unreal how watchable they became. Just overnight. Oh my God, it's just so much more fun. Then my buddy Paul Simpson, I read this tweet, this text to you earlier this morning. He goes, you know, this guy brought total new energy to the Warriors. It's so spot on. The game is suddenly watchable. I'm reading it word for word. His getting to the line gives Curry mini breaks that he wasn't getting before. Boy, I hope he stays healthy. How many Warrior fans feel like that right now?
888-957-9570. I don't know if Mike in Berkeley feels like that as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Brian Baldinger joining us here in about 30 minutes to break down the Super Bowl. Festus Zeely, top of the hour to talk some dubs. Mike Berkeley, how you doing, buddy? You're on Spadoni and Shasky.
What's up, Mike?
I'm good, guys. Good morning. How are you?
I'm excited.
I'm swell.
I'm just excited.
You know, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy. NBA wins are tough to come by, so anytime you can get them, you know, you should be happy. I'm happy with the Jimmy Butler acquisition. Like everybody's saying, it's a stability thing. He's bringing stabilization. And the increase in minutes of Moses Moody, which I've been campaigning for about 2 years.
No, you're right.
But anyway,
he's playing great, though. You deserve to strut today because I'll be real. I've been skeptical on Moody, and he's played, I truly believe, best basketball of his career. He's a player, dude. He did a really good job on Dame, I thought, in the first half.
Here's the deal, Joe. On that, that's not a memorandum on Moses Moody. That was a memorandum on Steve Kerr.
I hear you.
Not playing him. But my point is that the greatest shooter of all time is putting up some of the most horrific shots I've ever seen him put up. and hopefully, because either Jimmy Butler's going to say, hey, Steph, you need to, you know, acquiesce to a team game a little bit. I saw last night that Curry was double-teamed. He jacked up a three, and Buddy Hield and Moses Moody were on the right side of the floor all by themselves. And he jacked up a three, and it was horrific. And he's got to play. As you get older, you need to play more of a team game. He has to modify his game because it's not going to be sustainable. You can beat Milwaukee. You can beat Chicago. But you can't, you know, with 20 seconds left on the clock and he's jacking up a 30-footer, I mean, come on, that's got
to
stop.
Well, you have to trust your teammates. Wouldn't you agree with me on that? And, like, that's where I think as they all start to play better, and Buddy maybe plays multiple games really well, because, like, you know, last night was a good game for Buddy. Like, you'll trust those guys a little more, and you're more willing to make that pass. But you're right. I'm with you on that.
No, it's totally. It's a great point. That's Mike in Berkeley.
Great call, Mike.
888-957-9570. How are we feeling about this two-game experience now? Did you have some doubts? Are those doubts still there, Dub Nation, in regards to Jimmy Butler and his fit on this team? I just don't know how you can, given what we've seen. We've seen this team struggle against bad teams week in and week out. We've seen Stephen Curry struggle to shoot the ball week in and week out. The wear and tear factor, all of it. The proof is in the pudding right now. And if they could go undefeated in the Jimmy Butler era heading into the All-Star break, the confidence is going to be sky high, not only with the team, the fan base. Are you kidding me?
I just need Kuminga to come back and just settle in.
And that's going to be the next thing with Kuminga.
Are you bullish on it, or are you skeptical on it?
There's part of me that wants to be excited, but there's also a big part of me saying, like, he's been gone for a long time.
This is
a brand new team, basically, with a brand new ego, a brand new player, and he has had some confidence issues in the past. I don't want those to creep back in. I don't want to be that guy who puts a wet blanket on everything, has to rain on the parade. I know we're excited. And we're like, this is another acquisition for us. Kuminga's coming back. Young player still who was just getting into his groove. Let's see it.
I think that Jimmy's
It could be great, though. It could be.
No, well, look, I think if they're running more pick and roll, and you got to assume Kuminga's going to play, you know, some minutes with Steph off the floor, I think Jimmy and Kuminga in that high pick and roll setting actually could be a really good thing. I think when Jimmy gets the ball in the paint with Steph on the outside on the wing and Kuminga cutting to the hoop, Jimmy's going to find him. You know, Dre found him a lot on those cuts, and no one guards Dre offensively. I think they're going to figure it out, and I think there's going to be a positive effect. But it is on Kuminga to adjust. There's no doubt about it. And of all the people, like, he's had a tough time adjusting to certain personnel around him.
And this goes back to Steve Kerr and, you know, reintegrating him into this team and playing to those emotions. Like, this is
and running sets that work for him.
Correct. I'm talking more the person, too, because I do think the mental aspect of this is going to be very tricky for him, for Steve Kerr to manage all of these different mouths to feed at this point, because Jimmy is established. Steph is established. Draymond Green, established, right? And now he's seeing Moses Moody becoming more established. He's seeing guys like Quentin Post becoming more established. You know, Kuminga, is he going to be coming off the bench? I mean, I know it doesn't really matter on the starting aspect. I do think he was going to be closing games. In an ideal world, you're looking at Draymond, Jimmy, Steph, Moody, and Kuminga for me.
I agree.
That's the ideal closing five, I think, going forward. I'm very curious to see how Kuminga fits in, though.
Well, I think also, like, your GP2s and your buddies and your pods, now they take on their real roles. Like, they were miscast as impact starters, all of them. Like, I don't think this is a knock on those guys. It's just, like, that's not ideally what you would want from them.
I mean, is it a coincidence that Buddy Hield looks like a freer player these last few games because he doesn't feel like the onus is on him outside of Stephen Curry to produce shots?
Everything you get from him is found money. Yeah. Like, because his role is now diminished, or, you know, he's in the role he needs to be in, I guess is the way I would put it. I feel like you've gotten a pretty good floor game from Pods for about 2 weeks now. Yeah. Since coming back from injury, he's been really good.
Shot's still not there for Pods.
Yeah, but he's playing better.
He's got 9 boards. He's getting the hustle boards there. 9
He's decisive.
Yesterday. Yes, that's the word.
Yeah, he's not hesitating. He's not getting into the paint and then picking up his dribble and just pivoting to no man's land. I like where Pods is at right now. And this is where, like, Kuminga coming back, you know, now guys are in their perfect roles. But it is on Kuminga and Steve to kind of figure it out. I think the one area that I underrated, man, when you get a team into the bonus, it just frees up your offense because people are less likely to play that hard perimeter defense knowing they have multiple fouls to give. Like, you can play more aggressive in the half court. Kuminga's going to benefit from that. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to get those cheapo depot fouls. You've seen Curry get it already. Guys have to back off him because you're in the bonus before he even steps onto the floor in the fourth quarter. It's a great thing.
95.7 The Game, Joe Shasky and Under Armour are giving you a chance to score a pair of the new Curry 12s here in the next 20 minutes. So you got to be listening next 20 minutes, Joe Shasky. We're going to be giving away a pair of the new Curry 12s. And again, listen to the Morning Roast all week long for your cue to call 415-523-4652. We're going to do the fifth caller to call the contest line. Not right now. Now, right now, you're going to hear a sounder. Are you ready, Carter? You're going to hear that. And then you're going to call 415-523-4652 to win a pair of the new Curry 12s. As part of Steph Curry's Under Armour What the Bay 12s, they release this Friday, February 14th on UA.com. For more info and to see what they look like, visit 957thegame.com. Got a couple minutes here. Let's squeeze in Abdul real
quick. Let's go, Abdul.
Joe Shasky. Abdul's in Fremont. He wants to join the conversation. What's up, Abdul?
What's going on, fellas? I wanted to just give a quick shout out to Quinton Post, man. I mean, Jimmy's been a great addition, but man, not training for Vucevic, you know, makes sense now. I mean, that kid looks like he's going to develop into the that stretch five we need. So
totally agree.
Loving his play the last two games, man. Just playing with confidence. So just wanted to give him a shout out and give him some love for the last two games.
Great call. I totally agree. I mean, I'm looking at Quinton Post. Ideally, he's a 12 to 20 minute a night guy, depending on the matchup. He played 15 minutes last night, scored 13 points.
Didn't feel like he played 15 minutes because his impact was so massive.
Because it was in that late third quarter, early fourth quarter where you needed it. And so, like, I'm just looking at the minute allocation. Buddy Hield at 30 minutes, I probably goes down when Kuminga comes back.
Yeah.
Gary Payton at 10, that's perfect.
Yeah.
10 minutes for GP2.
Two for two.
Perfect.
4 points, couple of assists.
Pods at 32, which is fine because you had a lot of overlapping minutes. Kevon Looney at 12. Guy Santos at 6. When Kuminga comes back, I think that all these role players that have kind of frustrated Warrior fans go back to their proper spots in the rotation and just everything looks better. And it's the Jimmy effect. You get an alpha and it kind of just changes all of your expectations for all these other guys.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Brian Baldinger going to be joining us at 7:30. Baldy's Breakdowns. Is this going to be the final Baldy appearance for the year, Sam?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find him in the
Well, something's going to happen when Debo gets traded, this, that, and the other. Maybe we'll have an emergency Baldy. But as far as this season goes, it's going to be goodbye to Brian Baldinger. But it's never really goodbye. It's more of like a see you later. So Baldy at 7:30, your chance to win a pair of Curry 12s, plus Festus Ezeli at the top of the hour to break down the Golden State Warriors' recent changes with Jimmy Butler edition, one of these last two games, what he sees, what he likes. Plus, he's got something special to promote in the regards to the celebrity pickleball bash, so we'll get to that. Safety on roads and freeways starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians check fluids, wipers, lights, tires, and more while you stay in your vehicle. Locations, coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
Curry to the right side. Waits for Draymond. Screen set. Deep three on the way. Splash! Curry makes it 105-94. Warriors have their largest lead of the night right now.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see, can't change me, because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
That's right, Oreo. He's taking part in the knockout contest, and our knockout tournament is back with a chance to shoot hoops on the floor of Chase Center, Joe Shasky. We're going to be giving out the keyword after Festus Ezeli. He joins us at 8 o'clock, so be listening between 8 and 8:30. We're going to give out the keyword then, and then in the following segment between 8:30 and 9, we're going to play the sounder, give you the number to call in, this, that, and the other. That's going to be next hour. And again, tournament is going to be held Monday, March 3rd at Chase Center. Have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. But be listening for the next 12 minutes or so because we are going to be playing a sounder. If you're paying attention last segment, you can play it again if you want to. Next time you hear that sounder, you're going to call in to the contest line, which I will provide. And you can win a pair of Stephen Curry 12s because we're so nice, and that's what we do. They're the What the Bay 12s. What the Bay? Yeah, there you go. So we're going to give that away. Those don't release until February 14th, Valentine's Day, this Friday. Joe Shasky, what do you got planned, by the way, Valentine's Day? It's coming up.
What do I have planned? I'm packing my bags for Hawaii.
Okay.
We've never gone anywhere, dude. I'm like really looking forward to draining my bank account. Yeah, to go.
You start with draining your bank
account.
I also went to Hawaii.
Credit card time.
Right.
Credit card time.
Get those miles. Get those. Come on. You're doing that.
That's how we paid for the flights.
There you go. I went to Hawaii for the first time as well. I'm 31. That was last October. My best friend got married.
Oh, nice.
And on Kauai, the island. You guys are going
to
be going there.
Yeah, we're going to Maui. Beautiful. And then we're going to spread the last of my dad's ashes.
Oh, well, that's, you know what? That's a good
as
thing.
A family. You know, that's going to be, yeah. My wife and I and LJ, and then my brother and his boys and his wife, and then my sister and her husband and her kids and my mom. And so, yeah, and my wife and I were like, well, look, we're going to go over there. Let's spend a couple of extra days and, look, really enjoy it. We've never really been anywhere. We go to the Russian River. That's vacation for us. For sure. Like, right? And we're very lucky to have that and very blessed. But we never really fly anywhere. I don't like planes. I'm not a big, like, spend money and go here and go there. And, like,
God, have you seen what's going on planes lately? What is happening?
Why do you even have to say that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Please. I didn't mean to, like, knock on wood, but it's just like, what is happening right now?
I know.
So. Anyways, you guys are going to be fine. You'll be great. It'll have fun. Relax. Don't call the station. Don't listen to the station.
Well, no,
you
I
checked
wanna.
Out.
No, I'm no, because I love sports. I'm going to be listening to everything, and I'm going to make sure because, like Tom Brady, I want to take every rep and never know who the next guy coming down the pike is to try to take my job.
Might be Carter. Who knows?
Well, it better not be.
You going to move him? Guy's 6'7".
Well, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Well, that's not the case for Quinton Post, who's been balling as a 7-footer. The Flying Dutchman, 4 or 5 off the bench last night, 13 points. I mean, the stories right now, you can go anywhere.
No, the story is Jimmy Butler.
Well, Jimmy Butler, again, it's baked into it. Jimmy Butler is the guy. But there's parts of these last two games that make you feel even better because of Jimmy. It's because of guys like Quinton Post, guys like Moses Moody, like, those guys need to keep playing well going forward here. If the Golden State Warriors, you know, want to make some noise here, and maybe, again, you're still a little skeptical on it, but getting the sixth seed, I don't think is out of the question right now.
Just get into the box.
I'd like to get more out of the box because I'd like some security there.
Until
the sixth seed is all but wrapped up, I'm focused on their stuff.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, I'm going to start with the box, but I'm with you on that.
You're in the box right now.
I'll level up once I'm ready to, Wiz Khalifa. Have you ever heard of the name Gumby?
Yes, the little green, like, rubber guy.
Yes.
Yes.
With the arms and all that stuff.
Is that his nickname?
Well, no, that's my nickname for anybody who's like a baby deer who hasn't grown into their body, you know, as an athlete. I'm always like, oh, you're a Gumby. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I describe as them. And they're not ready to play through contact, as I call it. There's a lot of players, NBA level or even at the youth level, who they crash into somebody or somebody puts a body on them even a little, and they just kind of fall over. Andrew Wiggins is extremely athletic, right? But he didn't play through contact enough for my liking, for how good I believe his athleticism to be. And he would always kind of like lose the ball and not do the and one. Jimmy Butler plays through contact. If you're going to try to foul him or body him, he is running through your shoulder blades. And there are just some guys who play thicker, stronger, and through you. And he's one of those guys. He's not a Gumby guy, meaning he's not just going to be all arms and elbows. And I'm not trying to knock Wiggs. I'm just saying, like, his skill set is just different.
No, but that matters when you get into a playoff series and you go up against a team, I don't know, like the Lakers, who get to the foul line constantly. That's the difference between winning and losing. LeBron.
Plays through you.
Austin Reeves.
Plays through you.
Luka Doncic. Yeah, all those guys.
Absolutely plays through you. Right? There are certain guys, and you don't have to have that kind of body type. They're, like, Isaiah Thomas played through you.
Yes.
Back in the day. I'm talking about Detroit Pistons, Isaiah Thomas. Like, that's what he was
known
for.
Say what you will about the guy, and I know you were harping on him, you say he's overrated, but Dame always gets to the line. Dame does it.
Sure,
he
no,
has
he
aggression
does.
And he
I'll
gets
give
to
you
the
that.
Line.
I'll give you that. But, like, when I watch Andrew Wiggins, like, too many times, like, the ball was just, like, Doc, go up with it! Go through somebody! You know? And I'm not trying to make this a what he doesn't do. He brings other things to the table. Not everyone is blessed with that. That element was so sorely missed for the Warriors. And what it does when you're an official is that you just assume, oh, that guy's not getting knocked off his perch. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a favorable whistle 9 times out of 10. 9 times out of 10. And I think that there's a inherent effect that that's had on Moses Moody. How many times have you seen Moses in just 2 games go strong to the rack? He did it twice yesterday early in the game. And I'm like, where's that been? And it's just like, again, this is the Jimmy Butler effect we've been dying for.
I loved yesterday that the 3-point shot, I mean, they were 13 of 45 overall.
I didn't even notice
it. You didn't even notice because the aggression to the rim.
Yeah.
Early on, Buddy Hield getting there, getting a steal, getting the bucket early on. Moses Moody, to your point, driving. Brandon Pajemski at times, driving. Gary Payton, a couple of quick, you know, little dunks, little whatever he's got to do. Quinton Post, obviously, it's the 3-point shot for him, but he can get there too, and he has some nice little putbacks as well. He had a couple offensive rebounds. It was good to see there. But Jimmy and what he has brought to this team early on, I didn't think it would happen this early. I thought it was going to take some time. I'm going to be honest. I didn't think it'd be this perfect of a start for him. And Steve Kerr, to your point, Joe Shasky, his coaching ability, he's even kind of shocked that it's been this seamless.
It has been absolutely seamless, and it's because of Jimmy's IQ. He just has an incredible feel for the game. So all we had to do was give him a few of our actions, terminology, the last couple of days, and we just, you know, we're running three or four things, and otherwise it's just basketball, and he knows how to play basketball.
There's just times in life.
Seamless.
Sports. Guru will be like, sports, man. Like, he has that whole line.
It's an all-timer.
You might have to play it.
I got it. No, don't worry.
Sports, man.
Yep. Hold on. No, just keep talking. I'll get it.
But the boss will text me. He's like, this is why I love sports.
Sports, man.
And I feel the same way. Like, the Eagles traded for A.J. Brown. What the hell were the Titans thinking? You went about a dog? Like, that's a dog. That dude, like, he's crazy.
Yeah, he's trying to, like, fight his head coach when they're up, like, 30 points during the Super Bowl.
It's not that he doesn't want to win.
No, of course he wants to win.
Right? Like, sports, man. Like, we got CMC. Saquon Barkley. The New York Giants let Saquon Barkley go for nothing?
Right.
Like, for nothing? That's how I feel about this Jimmy Butler deal. Like, dude, I was as pessimistic and as skeptical as anyone leading into the deadline. And then when we couldn't get anyone, I was like, let's do it. Sign me up for Jimmy. It's so much better than I could have thought.
What was your biggest skepticism before the trade?
Attitude.
Or after? Okay.
Attitude.
Not the age.
Attitude. The age was definitely a factor. But I also didn't know, like, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to break him off money? Is he going to be pissed off? He's going to get here. He's going to want money. Like, we've done the money thing in this market for every team, and it's draining. I just watched Klay Thompson, you know, mope around for the last couple of years. And I get where his point of view was, but like, and at the end of it, it was partly about respect and money, right? And like, these guys want to feel loved and they want to get paid. That's what these guys want. And so I was like, all right, you bring him in. Are you going to pay him? Like, is he going to play nice with everybody?
Right.
And like, I'm just seeing the early returns. Just look at Steph, look at Draymond, look at Steve, look at Jimmy's faces. They all look so happy. Now, it's early. It's a weekend. Right? This is the honeymoon phase. What's going to happen when they hit some turmoil? Right. We'll find out. But, like, early on, it's like, all right, I think this is going to work out, dude. Like, sometimes you just know. And I feel like early on, the returns are like, yeah, this is going to work pretty well.
I'm just looking at that schedule. Again, there's a lot of time off. There's a break in between. We'll see. Kuminga coming back. What's that going to look like? But you got the Mavericks. You got the Rockets. Then you got the All-Star break. Got at Sacramento. You got at home against the Mavericks.
Teams that are all right near you in the standings.
Correct. Then you got the Hornets, who stink. And by the way, the Hornets are trying to like rescind their rescind. Do you see that? They're like, we're actually happy Mark Williams is back. But actually, this was the Lakers' fault, and we don't want him anymore. So we should actually have this trade still go down. Like, what is going on there? I kind of feel bad for Mark Williams and all this. It's the guy's body's failing him. It's not his fault, all the physicals. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They've never known what they're doing. Back when they were the Charlotte Bobcats, they still didn't know what they're doing. The Hornets are
the Bobcats.
Disaster of an organization.
Not Jahlil. What was the other guy? Okafor. What was the other Okafor that they drafted?
There was another one?
Yeah. Oh, you don't remember the old one? Yeah.
I remember they drafted Adam Morrison. Remember, that was the big one?
And he cried.
Well, Khalil Okafor?
Mecca Okafor.
Oh, Mecca Okafor. That's right. That's who it was. God, they had horrible jerseys, too.
They're awful.
Awful colors.
Mecca Okafor. He played for 16 years. Wow. NBA Rookie of the Year. NCAA champion. That's right. UConn.
Joe Smith-like.
Very Joe Smith-like. Where was I? Talking about the schedule? Yeah, the Hornets, they do that to me. They get me off track.
The Bobcats.
All right. So you got the Hornets, then you got the Magic, got the Sixers, then you got the Hornets again. So I'm like, not exactly world beaters anywhere here. The Rockets are a good team. Like,
Stack wins.
But when we were talking about prior to Jimmy, it's just like, oh, God, the Hornets. I don't know. Maybe we will lose to that team. And Steve Kerr acknowledged as much yesterday. He's like, you know, maybe these last two games, they could have been losses earlier in the season.
Guys feel really good about these two games, recognizing that both games were games we might have lost earlier in the season. I think the fact that Jimmy went to the line 15 times tonight, 13 times the other night, shows you the power of free throws and, you know, the ability to get your defense set and settle a game down when it needs settling. So it's a big change. We don't go to the line much, but last two games, I think up over 30 free throws each game. So maybe that's about to change.
I mean, I'm watching a play right now where he goes crashing into like two guys, no call, kicks it out to Potts. Potts kicks it to Moody, bang, three. Like, it's just the
look,
way that.
Look how happy Steph was on the sideline.
Just thrilled.
Yeah.
Just the body language. The body language is everything to me. Like, this team, more than almost any other, they have to play a certain way to have fun. And it starts with Steph Curry. If Steph's not having fun, I feel like everything feels really tense.
Well, if Steph wasn't having fun and they didn't make this trade, then. That's when the fan base, you start to get nervous.
Yes, I would
That's
agree.
When it's like, okay, I know Steph has told us time and time again, he's like, I don't want my career to end a certain way. And it's just like, and then it keeps going bad and bad, and he keeps, and then he's struggling on the court, then he's looking around saying, man, the Lakers made this trade, the Spurs made this trade, like, where's my trade? Like, so yeah, there was part of this, if you're Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob, to appease your number one product in Stephen Curry, and I think he seems to be enjoying it the first two games.
You ever play those, like, first-person player video games?
Sure.
Well, I don't know, they're called first-person shooters or whatever.
Are they like, role-playing games?
Yeah, there you go, yeah, RPGs.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, your character's, like, the energy bar is being drained, and
sure.
They have, like a stint or a health meter.
You're
or something.
Going, like, Fallout or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like, okay. Well, I know, like, Return of the, whatever it's called, Fallen Jedi I play.
Sure.
They have this stint, and BB-1, like, yeah. Gives you this thing, and you jolt it into your arm, and all of a sudden, you're back to full strength. That's what it feels like happened to the Warriors this year.
Right.
Their energy bar was just getting sucked down. All of a sudden, Jimmy B shows up, and next thing you know, like, boom, they're completely rejuvenated, and everyone is playing way more loose.
888-957-9570. We'll pick up this Warriors conversation as well at the top of the hour with Festus Ely. We got Brian Ballinger joining us here momentarily, and we're going to get back into the Super Bowl because, yeah, it was the number one rated Super Bowl, the most watched, I guess, is what it was, 120 million, something like that, Carter?
126.
126, excuse me. Don't want to shortchange the 6 million there. 126 million watched. And the reason we stayed watching is because we still didn't know if the Chiefs were totally done. Like, we should have known. I don't think it was till it was 40-6, and I was like, okay.
I think the Mahomes effect.
Well, that's just it. There it is right there. It's time to give away a pair of Curry 12s. Caller number 5 on the contest line, 415-523-4652, will be winning a pair of the Steph Curry Under Armour What the Bays 12s. Call now, 415-523-4652. But in the meantime, it's time for Brian Ballinger, baby. Oh, in a second.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Joining us on the River Islands guest line right now, Brian Ballinger, presented by a proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. And Baldy, first and foremost, welcome. I got to give you credit, man. You called it from the start of the playoffs. Eagles going 4-0, and they looked like the best team. And I don't even know were you shocked by it? The way they dominated Patrick Mahomes. I've never seen anything like that. I've even in the Super Bowl that they lost to Tampa, like Mahomes was still making some throws where I was just looking like, wow, this guy's incredible. He had no chance, Baldy. No chance.
No, the funny thing, Joe, is the Eagles never blitzed once. 38 drop back passes, they never blitzed. It was a 4-man rush. One time they ran a zone pressure and brought Zach Bond. But other than that, not just a 4-man rush. They didn't have any twist stunts. There was any stunts. It was just man on man. And, you know, the reason why I thought they would go 4-0, regardless of who the opponent was, is because I saw real player development throughout the season. I saw a guy like Nolan Smith, who didn't start for the first 6 weeks and really didn't make any impression at all. To a guy that might be the most feared edge rusher in the league right now.
Wow.
And the most violent edge rusher in the league right now. In the course of a season. That's not to mention Jalen Hunt or Milton Williams, Jalen Carter's beast. I mean, I call them the Filthy Four in honor of Philadelphia, but they're the Filthy Four. And it doesn't matter what four is out there. They changed the game. And Mahomes was sacking himself. He was running around like he was back at Texas Tech, and he was playing Oklahoma, and he was just trying to, you know, put a touchdown on the board. I haven't seen him look like that in his 8 years as a starter.
Yeah, I thought it was a huge organizational win. Obviously, Howie and player drafting and swinging trades, letting guys walk like Javon Hargrave. They lost Fletcher Cox and Kelsey. Yep. You know what I mean? And for them to reload the way that they have in a variety of ways, and then hiring the best candidates, Vic Fangio. I mean, he was brilliant. And this guy Bond coming out of nowhere, like no one knew who this guy was. Baldy, what is their weakness? Like, I'm looking at them, and I'm from the Niner perspective. It's like, that's the team that we have to catch. And I'm saying to myself, I don't even know where you start, because I'm not sure that that team has a weakness that can be exploited currently.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I thought they'd go 4-0, Joe. They don't have a weakness. And really, outside of Mekhi Becton being a free agent, and I know he doesn't want to go anywhere, but, I mean, they've got everybody back under contract, from Lane Johnson to Juergens to Mulata. Saquon's got a new deal. Jalen's under. I mean, they're all coming back. And defensively, they're the youngest defense in football. And so, honestly, you strike gold. Like, I call the kid Cooper DeJean. I call him Cooper DeJam. Like, he just jams everybody at the line of scrimmage. They're excellent tacklers, Joe. Excellent tacklers. They don't miss open field tackles. They communicate very well. The rookies look like salty 5-year veterans playing on that defense. They don't have a weakness right now. The only weakness is what most teams suffer from after they win a Super Bowl, and that's just, you know, do they just get complacent? Complacency is the thing that can take them a step back. But I don't know if they have those type of players that are going to get complacent.
Brian Baldinger joining us here, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop and Baldy? You know, we talked about it last week. You know, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes going for the three-peat. What makes Andy Reid so special? And then I asked you, you know, conversely, what is it about Nick Sirianni we're not talking about? And it's, you said it right here on our airwaves. It's his ability to connect with his coaches and his players. And you mentioned it in your last answer right there, you know, the players getting better throughout the season and his pulse on that team. Shasky and I were debating yesterday, you know, comparing and contrasting Sirianni and Shanahan. Is there anything that Kyle Shanahan could learn from Nick Sirianni this past year and use it heading into next season?
Well, without really knowing what it's like behind the scenes, Joe, that guy never, ever puts anything in front of his players. Like he literally eliminates every... He never, ever calls a player out. He never calls a coach out. He takes all the heat himself when things don't go right, and things didn't go right the first 4 weeks of the season. Like, he takes all the heat. And I don't know that Kyle doesn't do that, but I don't know if he does it to the extent that Nick does. And all he does is believe in his players. Even when they collapsed last year, like, the press conference has never really changed. Like, all he just said is, you know, we're going to figure this out. This is on us. And it's us. It's always us. It's never an individual. The thing that's, I'm not going to criticize Kyle here. He's had his share of successes. But this team always looks prepared. Always looks prepared. They never look sluggish. I mean, if you take out the one game in week 16 where Jalen got concussed in the first quarter, he went 14-0. And, you know, he doesn't. And look, part of it is him, part of it is Jalen, part of it is Nick, part of it is Kellen Moore. They decided that we're not putting the ball in harm's way. We're not throwing the ball in the middle of the field into any kind of coverage. We're not doing it. Like, we'll take a sack. Our quarterback is a great runner. We'll run it. We'll punt. But we're not going to – he's thrown two interceptions in those 14 games. One was Sunday, and it was – look, the interception was at the goal line. They got the ball at the two. Turned out to be a great punt. But, you know, they take care of the football. They just don't put it in harm's way. And so, you know, they took the ball away 13 times in the postseason. They turned it over once. I mean, only the Cowboys in 92 had a better turnover ratio in the postseason.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, I'm thinking about Howie Roseman, the GM. I think football, maybe more than all the sports. There's such a player familiarity for these guys that are coming out in college. Like, the draft is almost over the top in terms of the fandom and how we view it. But, like, what Howie has done and the culture that he's built to win with two different coaches, two different quarterbacks, in very different ways. You know what I mean? The team looks a lot different today than it did in 2017 when they won it all. There's almost like a Theo Epstein kind of vibe from him, where he's kind of like like the end all be all for that organization. You know, Jerry West, obviously in the NBA, is somebody that's beloved. I mean, how is Howie going to be remembered? Is he a Hall of Famer now already as a GM? I think he's one of the best. I don't know, man. I thought it was his imprints were all over that roster.
Oh, I mean, he's got two Super Bowl wins, okay, as a GM, and a third appearance where they were beaten 2 years ago. And, you know, nobody retooled their roster this offseason better than Howie. When they finished the season last year, they might not even have been a playoff team. But you add Saquon, you add Mekhi Becton, who nobody thought could play guard. But you say, give him to Jeff Saddler, let him coach him up. You go and draft Quinyon Mitchell. They could have taken any corner. That was the first corner off the board. He's clearly the best corner. The guy is an absolute rock star. Cooper DeJean, they trade up in the second round to get him. You go take a flyer on Zach Bond, who's a third-round pick in New Orleans and never found a position. And he fill up the stat sheet every week. Like, Fred Warner has never filled up a stat sheet the way Zach Bond did, and we love Fred Warner. But this is a third-round pick, like Fred was, that came in here and started 21 straight games. They took a chance on Jalen Carter when there were some questionable things about him. But they said, we've got Fletcher Cox, we've got Brandon Graham, we've got Lane Johnson, we've got Jalen Hurts, we've got a strong locker room. This kid's going to shape up, and he did. There's never been an incident with him. And so you just go through the whole list here, and he didn't make a mistake. But to get Saquon the way that he did, to trade for A.J. Brown during the draft, not just trade for him and take him from Tennessee, but give him a $100 million contract during the draft, like, that's preparation. That's like, we can get this guy. Like, there's no stone unturned from Howie. And look, he's not everybody's cup of tea. Like, there's a lot of people that aren't exactly crazy about working with Howie. But that's all right.
Why is
that? I mean, that's just, he just drives hard, you know? And but he has an intelligence about him that not many people in his position have.
They're just so cohesive, that entire organization, from the ownership to the GM level to the coaching. There just seems to be a chain of command, and everyone is in sync right now. And they're the model organization, I think, in all of professional sports in America, at least. Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Shasky. And we're going to get into the 49ers because, you know, there was the Adam Schefter report Sunday morning. Everyone got a Super Bowl Sunday, Deebo Samuel wanting out. Before I get to that, the Kansas City Chiefs. They were going for history. And they didn't win it. They didn't win three in a row. They've been amazing. Are we going to be looking at this Chiefs team taking a potential step back next year, Baldy? They're going to be losing some offensive linemen. Their defense just got absolutely shredded. I know they tried that. They stuffed Saquon, and that was clearly the game plan. But they bet Jalen Hurts to throw the ball, and he did it. And he was in sync with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Like, he was getting a Dallas Goedert. There was wide open at times. Where do the Chiefs go from here? Because obviously, whenever you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I treat it like Belichick and Brady. You got a chance. But do you see them taking a step back next season?
No. But you know, look, if you're picking at 30, 31, 32 every year, you're not getting Lane Johnson. You're not getting Trent Williams. You're not getting an elite tackle. That, you know, the fact that they don't have a left tackle. And they, you know, they've missed some picks. You know, the second-round pick from BYU, Wanya Morris, the third round. They're missing those guys. They need a solid left tackle. Put Tooney back in at guard. Look, Xavier Worthy is going to be a star in this league. I mean, so there was a stretch in this game, a minute to go, down 24-0 in the first half. I don't know what happened to DeAndre Hopkins, but he's going to score on that play.
Hands.
The Philadelphia completely blew the coverage. He's going to score. It's going to be 24-7. They come out, get the ball in the second quarter, third quarter, after halftime, and Xavier Worthy is streaking through the post. And Mahomes sees him. The left guard just gets crushed by Jordan Davis.
it's going to be another touchdown. It has a very good chance of being 24-14. Xavier Worthy is he's just a rookie. The kid is going to be a star. He runs better than anybody. His route running, he scares the living daylights out of you. They didn't have an answer for him. I think Kansas City can get back. They need to find a left tackle, a stud left tackle. And I think they need a big time running back. Nothing against Pacheco they picked up Hunt, off of the street. They need a real, they missed on that position too. But I feel like they need a stud running back not that you can get Saquon, but you need a stud running back in this business like McCaffrey. And if they get themselves a left tackle, I think they could retool pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, why aren't they going no huddle here, especially in the second half, and try to manipulate stuff at the line and then force them not to substitute? But anyway, that being said, I'm listening to Brady talk about Mahomes. And of course, Niner fans, Montana's still better than Mahomes, and Brady's still the GOAT and all that. Brian, you do this for a living. You played in the Montana era. You watch every snap of Brady's career. You broke down all the film. You've seen Mahomes. When you just hear the GOAT conversation and all of the rhetoric around quarterback, what's your thoughts on this? Because I find it absurd that we do these one-game samples and, that guy sucks. He's never going to be the greatest. It's like, wait a minute, he's 29. Okay, they've been to 5 Super Bowls here. Like, yes, they've gotten blown out, but come on, can we have a little bit of perspective? You, as someone who knows these guys, played in the sport, studies it, what do you think when we have these quarterback conversations out from afar of the fans?
Well, last week at this time, Joe, we were talking about creating his own legacy of winning 3 in a row. I mean, we're 7 days, we're 2 days removed from having that conversation. And that's like, I was in Mobile last week, or I was in New Orleans last week. I mean, that was a conversation in every single radio station. Is he the new modern GOAT? Like, one game doesn't change any of that. Like, the way that he handled the post game, like, you can't handle it any better. Like, this is going to stay with me forever. Like, not just this offseason. This is going to stay with me forever. Like, he's going to be driven by this. And so, and Andy is too. And so is, Brett Veach. Like, they're going to go find a left tackle. They're going to go find a stud running back. Like, they're not going to sit and lick their wounds here. Like, I just love the way that he handled it. Like, it was just, I got to be better. We got, it was just about him and playing at a higher level. Not the fact that his deep offensive line got crushed and the Eagles, just manhandled him, whatever. Like, he did it the right way. And the conversation, we'll be back here next year talking with him about being the best of all time. It's not going to go away.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. And Baldy, as I mentioned earlier, all the Niner fans woke up, Super Bowl Sunday, they're already miserable because it's Eagles Chiefs. And then
it was lose-lose for me,
and
Baldy.
Then you got Adam Schefter reporting. Yeah, I talked to Debo, and Debo says, yeah, he wants to play for another team, and the 49ers and him, they're going to be parting ways. What do you make of that? Debo Samuel, it looks like the time's coming to an end here. How important is it for the 49ers to not let this bleed in to, the workouts, the training camps, because the last thing this team needs, Baldy, is another distraction. That it was just absolutely filled with distractions last year. We were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. They had some distractions before the season, right? Oh, head coach, Sirianni, Jalen Hurts. A lot of that was smoke, I feel like, obviously, at this point.
Yeah.
But they didn't let that distract them at all in the season. The 49ers, that lingered and that festered in that locker room.
I agree, and I think if Debo doesn't want to be there, then accommodate him. First of all, it's a heavy contract that they don't really need based on the production. And there's nobody amongst us or fans that don't like Debo or respect Debo. We've seen the things that he has done in this league. But, they're right now they're hamstrung by some really big contracts. The IU contract is big, and we'll see if he comes back and what player he is when he comes back. You don't know right away or when he comes back. But, they've got a lot of money put into the wide receiver position and a lot of key positions. And at some point, you got to pay Brock this year. You're going to have to find that money somewhere. If they can find a caretaker right now, you drafted Pearsall. There's going to be receivers in this draft. Maybe not as good or dynamic as Debo, whether it's the return game, running, all the versatility that he presents. But I would say, to your point, the quicker they can get this thing settled, the better they can get into their offseason.
Baldy, we know they need to upgrade their defense. I mean, that's obvious. They need to get the trenches better. Defensive line, offensive line. Those go without saying. But how important is CMC to this whole equation? Like, I know in the Super Bowl it didn't matter as much. Saquon was a big part of why the Eagles were the Eagles this year. A huge part.
And
yes, his offensive line is a big, but he's a game changer. I mean, just an absolute game changer. How important is CMC? Because I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to be the guy that he was 2 years ago. And this is a run-first team. And I know that if they can get that play action going, boy, Brock looks good, you know, under center and Kittle and everything. So.
Yep.
Is that the number one question on the team right now?
I think so, Joe. I do. You know, the one thing, you know, if you compare the two, I mean, look, Christian was beat up all year. You know, the offseason, he was never really healthy, right? And effective the way that he played. Saquon went through years like that in New York where he wasn't healthy. And that's why he was basically allowed, you know, to go into free agency with the Eagles. I mean, for the most part, because of his injuries. And they didn't know. The Giants didn't know that he... Like, he didn't get nicked once this year. Maybe his wrist in a playoff game looked like it bothered him a little bit, but his legs were healthy. And when his legs were good, he was the biggest difference. It's the reason why the Chiefs had the game plan they did, where they pressed outside. They played two deep safeties, and they loaded the box, and they, you know, they corralled him. He still had some plays in the passing game, but for the most part, they corralled him. You know, one of the few teams that are able to do it. But they built their game plan around corralling Saquon, the way other teams did with McCaffrey. And it opened up a lot of other things. The quarterback is going to be better. Everybody's going to be better if McCaffrey can regain his form. And I don't know. I mean, that 400-plus carry season, we'll see what Saquon's like next year after all the work that he got this year. We know his speed didn't change. I don't think McCaffrey's speed has changed, his breakaway speed. But we got to see if Christian can regain the ability to break tackles and to hold up for a 20-game season the way we just watched Saquon do it.
Baldy, we were talking yesterday, and obviously you come away from that Super Bowl, it's the trenches, right? Offensive line, defensive line, that's where you need to start with your football team. But at the same time, you can be greedy a little bit and say, hey, if a guy like Davante Adams is out there, if he gets released from the New York Jets, from Palo Alto, West Coast guy, if you move off Deebo Samuel... Should the 49ers be interested in a guy like Davante Adams if he comes at the right price?
Look, I respect and I like Davante, but man, if I'm the 49ers, I'm trying to get younger. I'm just trying to get younger. Like, I don't know. Like, I was just in Mobile. They got some flyers there. I mean, you look at the Eagles, Devontae Smith is 25 years old. AJ is 28. Like, you know, they're young. I mean, you look at Jahan Dotson was a first-round pick. They've got three first-round picks. None of them are 28 years old. But I just want young legs, guys that can that have a burst. I know Davante has these 10 different releases that he can win one-on-ones, and that's great. I just want to get younger. I want to get the way the Eagles got younger. Draft and develop. Like, I don't think you should fear that. I think that's the approach you have to take. Every once in a while, you could go get Trent Williams like they did. And you could take a guy like that who's just a Hall of Fame player, and you do it. Not that Davante isn't. But if I'm the 49ers, I want to get faster and I want to get younger. Everywhere I can on the field.
Baldy, looking at the whole NFL season, right? The league's always trending in certain directions. There was a time we phased running backs out. Now it feels like they're phased back in. What's your big takeaway for where this league is going? Offense, defense, structurally in terms of organizations this offseason? What's everyone trying to do this offseason?
I mean, we talk about all of the quarterbacks and receivers and running backs. This league is built in the trenches. The Eagles proved that. Like, if you just look at this, Joe, like, I was talking to Joe Banner, who was, before there was Howie, there was Joe Banner.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they went from Trey Thomas to Jason Peters to Jordan Mulata at left tackle. They went from John Runyon to Lane Johnson at right tackle. Like, they never stopped loading in the trenches. And so the 49ers can't make that claim. Like, if you look at Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, right? Josh Sweat, like Jalen Hunt, who was a kid out of Houston Christian, whatever that is, and all he did was improve. Like, they build in the trenches, and that's what you got to do. And like, they missed on Bryce Huff. Like, they spent a $51 million contract on Bryce Huff. He didn't fit in Vic Fangio's defense. But you sort of just eat it and move on because Nolan Smith became so good. And so you never stop throwing resources and money at the trenches. Jason Kelce retires. But 2 years before he did, he helped find Cam Jurgens. And, like, I'm not saying Cam Jurgens can be Jason Kelce, but he's pretty damn good. You know, they got Landon Dickerson in the second round out of Alabama. Yeah. They never stop building in the trenches. That's the message. And I was just talking to Daniel Jeremiah last night till midnight. This is the deepest draft for defensive tackles that we've seen. Like, it's the deepest draft. And I was in Mobile, Joe. Like, I'm telling you, I'm talking about NFL-ready-looking bodies. Big, thick, strong, and twitchy. Like, go get yourself two of them.
Is this?
Now forget about one. Go get two.
Baldy, when you say that, I want just real quick. Do you mean middle rounds, late rounds, early? Like, where?
You can find them everywhere, Joe. Like, gotcha. Take a look at that kid from Toledo, Darius Alexander. Like, that kid is 6'4", he's 305, he's twitched up, he's at Toledo. But Quinyon Mitchell was at Toledo. Like, you watch that kid play in the Senior Bowl, and you watch him work out, like, he looks like he came right out of the SEC. Like, this is the draft to go build your defensive line.
Hey, Baldy, we appreciate the time, man. And to your point, Daniel Jeremiah has mock draft 1.0. I think he has he mocks Armand Membu. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Interior offensive lineman from Missouri. So, yeah, attacking the trenches first and foremost. That needs to be the priority for the 49ers. Baldy.
Thanks, Baldy.
Hey, it started with Bonte. Yeah. It ended with Spadoni this season. Hey, we always appreciate it, man. You're so good to us. And if there's an emergency, Debo trade, something, we'll definitely hit you up. But, hey, thank you. Thank you, man.
I might be in Tahiti. I might be in Bali. I'm not sure where I'll be next Friday. But if you need me, I'll find a hot wire spot to plug in.
Yeah, there's a shark that needs to be harpooned. We'll let
you know.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Let's go. Hey, Baldy, appreciate it, brother.
Very happy.
Let's go. Love you, buddy.
There he is. That's Brian Baldinger, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And now it's time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report. By Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Jonathan Kuminga update, ladies and gentlemen. The Warriors announced that he is making good progress in his recovery from a sprained right ankle. He has begun on-court work and is expected to rejoin practice after the All-Star break. His next evaluation, Joe Shasky, will come in 10 days. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Knockout tournament keyword, and Festus Ezeli on 95.7 The Game.